relationship to the next level. This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Welcome to Passion, a show all about love, sex, and relationships. We are heard Monday to Friday, 10 to 11 p.m. Tonight, we explore the different ways people express their passion for sex. It's a regular feature on Passion. We call it alternative sexuality. It is all about BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, kinky sex, anything alternative. My guests are Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. Welcome back to the program.
Hello.
Thank you. This is, I think,
our fifth year together. So. We are so grateful to have you every month to share your expertise because, you know, I can't know everything. So I turn to those I know, to people I know who know different things. And well, we invite you to share and talk. And
you know a lot. I mean, each time we ask you a question, you have answers.
Well, I speak to an awful lot of people, so it helps, right? It helps to speak to different experts. Can't be an expert in everything. But so these are the experts in BDSM, but they run a website that really focuses on all kinds of alternative sexuality and has been around for a long time, this website.
Well, we've been around for a long time.
I know you guys have been around for a long time. Of course, for people who don't know, they were featured in a show a long time ago. This is where I first got wind of them, on a show called Kink. And, of course, a little extreme in terms of what they showed. And things have changed since mainstream media and what have you that explores kinky sex and in a more
This is a problem
vanilla
we have.
Way I don't know how to
but
say it
we don't know anymore where the line is, where what's kinky, what's not anymore.
That's right. There used to be a time when we could make that distinction real well.
If it wasn't missionary, it was pretty much kink.
Exactly. If it wasn't missionary, it was kink. So, and that was, you know, and things have changed year after year and with different exposure. And it's true, yes, the 50 Shades trilogy and all that. I know you hate hearing about it, except that it kind of also changed the landscape of what is now part of mainstream sex.
Exactly.
So it did, and that and that's what I think, that if we see the evolution, look, I've been in the business now for 30 years or so, so have watched a lot of changes, have attended workshops, spoken to hundreds, thousands of people, so I've seen the evolution and the change and how we used to consider it and the kinds of things that people would come for help for and the kinds of things that people considered normal versus what's considered normal, which is a word I hate, today.
But I still find that kind of BDSM is still a little bit the dirty little secret.
Still taboo. Well, people don't openly say. The thing is that we're not going to find it as much in a group conversation. Somebody's saying, oh, you know, I love that I got an amazing whip last night. And like, you're just not going to really talk about it in that
well,
way.
Well, you know, it really depends on what group of friends you're with.
That's because, quite true. You know, in your group.
Exactly. But, you know, I mean, you're less likely to say, you know, oh, he have a nice butt. Wouldn't I like to spank that?
Right.
You know, and it's still something that's kind of kept quiet. It's still something that... it's still okay to make fun of that. Exactly.
Right.
It's input, you know, polite society. There'll still be jokes about it.
But it isn't something that is shared so openly, although more so. Like, I
yes,
can say
definitely
more
so.
Though. This is.
Yeah. And I've had, you know, a few people in my inner circle who in the last few years have talked to me about their BDSM practices, and these are people I've known for eons, right? And
now,
and
is it new, their practices, or they're just talking
some of them,
about
some
it
of them,
now to you?
I think some of them have just been talking about it, okay. And some have just discovered it.
Oh.
So I know several people who've discovered it later in life, much later in life, and then some who have always been into it but never talked about it.
Yes.
Really.
So, well, you're right. It used to be such a big secret. I mean, I'm looking at the group. I'm trying to do some research sometime about the historical part of, you know, the kink in here in North America, Montreal or whatever. And I found things here and there, but the old people don't want to talk. So often what I hear is almost like gossips. Mm-hmm. And this is how I can... And if you actually talk to someone who's been in some of these old group, they don't want to say anything because it was secret. It was like, you know?
Right. It was a secret.
It's also
secret
the
society.
Higher economics.
Okay.
Usually, you know, not always, But often the wealthier people do it very, very privately. They will not go out to a club. They will not go out to a fetish party or a munch for fear of being seen. Like people who
I get that. I get that. People who may be in the public eye, or people who have, who may fear being judged.
Well, you know, a doctor or or something like that. They don't,
they don't want to run into anybody they know.
Exactly.
Right.
I still find it's still pretty secretive, but it's not. It's not like it used to be, where it's not the same blackmail fodder it used to be.
Right.
You know, 15 years ago even, we had people writing us fairly frequently saying, they're afraid of being blackmailed. This person is, found out and I'm worried about it and things like that. Because now, basically all you have to do is you go to your work. They can't fire you if it's a consenting adult. And then you've taken away everything.
Right.
And
you take away the power.
Yep. You do. And that just, it happens all the time now.
Right.
So it's not really as bad as it used to be. That's slowly changing, at least.
Right. And we've seen that certainly over the last few decades. 514-800 or 71010. If you'd like to text in, do you have a question about BDSM, about kink? Pierre and Catherine are very happy to answer those questions for you. You can call in as well at 1-800-491-2523. Now, I did get a question. I saved it for you, so I hope you'll answer this. As a monogamous longtime dater, I felt my relationships end due to sexual incompatibility. This is often found out after a year or so of partaking in vanilla sex. For those people who don't know what the term means, it just means kind of regular run-of-the-mill sex. old missionary or different things like that, and trying to later spice things up. I hear couples talk about some typical freaky sex they get to engage in, and I get somewhat irrationally upset. How did they find each other? In big caps. How does one go about with searching for long-term relationships while also figuring out if your sexual interests align with theirs? Sexually tendencies don't seem to be at the forefront and so openly discussed at the beginning of relationships. I understand that. Obviously, my methods have just been a lot of patience and then trying to work them into the relationship at a later date. Recipe for my failure. Absolutely. So here's somebody who's waits till he gets involved, then brings it up, and then it's like, oh, forget it.
And the answer to the question of that person is so easy. I mean, now you can find anything on the internet.
You know what? You go swimming in the pool that's got all what you want, and then you have to wade through all the fishes. Mm-hmm. So you have to go to dating sites where they're kinky dating sites. And people will think that it's, they're just trying to go and they're trying to screw as many people or do whatever the kinky mm-hmm. stuff with as many. Most people are looking for monogamous relationships.
Right.
Serious
relationships.
You're saying it. I'm looking for a serious, long-term, monogamous, I can't say that today, relationship. And, that's how Pierre and I found each other. I know that
online you found each other online.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a kinky site. Because and then you've got to wade through all the people in the kinky site the same way as you would wade through all the people in a regular dating site to find the things that are familiar.
Mm-hmm.
But often we hear of people who are dating somebody and they're kind of hoping to find out they're kinky and they're not, and now they're in love, but they're not happy.
Right.
And really go swimming in the right pool.
Because what ends up happening in a situation like that is you compromise yourself. So let's say you say, okay, I'm going to put this aside. Let's develop this relationship. Then you realize, but I need this in my life, or this is something I really want. My partner's totally not into it. Now I'm stuck. Like either I sacrifice my a part of my sexuality, yeah, or I sacrifice the relationship. Now they're stuck between a rock and a hard place with a really tough decision to make in the end. And this is what this person is saying, is that there's quite a bit of a challenge there, and it results in a lot of failed relationships. So we could talk about that. 514-800-71010. If you have thoughts, do you know where to look for a kinky partner? How would you go about it? We'd love to hear your thoughts here on Passion.
Torture you, take my hand through the flame. I torture you, I'm a slave.
Whether you need to learn how to talk or something more hands-on, she can help. Passion with Dr. Lori.
And that's our theme song for BDSM night, alternative sexuality tonight on the program. Woo-hoo. Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com are here as they are every month, sharing their expertise and just focusing just on this, which, believe it or not, I know some people think, why are you talking about this? Like, this is so only relevant to a few. Well, no, studies are showing that it isn't actually just relevant to a few, that more than half of the population is into some form of kinky sex. Doesn't mean more than half are talking about it. maybe we're just talking about it, or very few are talking about it, but it is a reality for many. So we were answering the question from the gentleman who said that he's had a lot of failed relationships because he only brings up his kinky side or asks to spice things up in that way only once he's engaged in the relationship, only once he's already, you know.
I think this is the mistake. If you go on a website, specialized dating website, you basically put out what you're looking for.
Right. But you could do that also on a regular website. Like, I want to point out that on any website that you have an online profile, I think it really is important to put down, even if it means to say, look, I'm into kinky sex, and say what that means, you're at least eliminating those who would look at this and say, oh, no, not for me. And those who may be intrigued, but at least you've put it out there.
Well, I agree you should put it out there, but really, you need to go to the specialized sites. It's not freaks on there. You're not a freak just because you like it. There's normal people. It's everyday people. It's the same people you're going to see at the grocery store or right. sit beside to the doctor's office or on the metro. You know, and I think there's sometimes a misconception about the kinky sites that it's just, oh, all these freaks that are out there, everybody's really extreme, right. and it's not.
So this texter at 514-800 asks, any recommendations for good kinky dating sites? Do you know of any?
It goes by area. It depends on where you are.
Okay.
Actually, in Montreal, our own site, we have some form of success because we have a lot of ads on our site.
So on a BDSM site, you have on there, you have ads
BDSM Circle has okay. it.
We have an ad section, but yeah. it depends. If, let's say, you go to Toronto, it would be better to have a site that is more from that area or something like this. Mm-hmm. It's hard sometimes to find where
it is.
There's
like a Caller Space. There's FetLife.
Yeah, well, FetLife's not really for ads.
Well, kind of. Okay. But it's still, you know, go to places like that.
But how do you even, like, find them? Do you have a listing on your site about all the different dating sites?
No, there may be some links, but you just Google it.
Just Google it, you know, BDSM dating site, and you're going
there's
to have a
list. There's alt.com.
Which one?
There's alt.com.
Oh, yes, I've heard
there's,
of that one.
This is where we met.
Yeah, Caller Space, which used to be... Caller Me, but now it's callerspace.com, I think. They're FetLife. There's lots of them. Just Google it and go through. And then it's really, really, really important to put what you are, who you are, and where you are.
Another trick is...
And your age. And don't lie. What's the bloody point?
Right. That's true for any site.
Go to Munches if you can find them. Because you're going to meet people and you're going to get known there. So if somebody see your profile and say, this is the gentleman, the nice gentleman I met at the Munch, you're basically making yourself more accessible for other people. But
just for other people who don't understand what you're talking about, the Munch is Pierre and Catherine, you know, regularly kind of have meetup groups, which they call their Munches for people who just want information and other people. So they all call them Munches?
Yeah.
Why? Is that a term used in BDSM?
Yes, it is.
It seems
basically, it's a bunch of people who will gather together at a restaurant normally.
Where's the word munch come from?
Because you're all munching.
Just eating.
You're eating.
So it's a restaurant thing. Okay.
Yeah,
I was just checking.
Or if there's something also called a slosh.
Okay.
Okay, and a slosh is different than a munch, and that a slosh is usually at a bar or a pub. At a pub as opposed to a bar. And the good ones are at like a quiet pub-like place where everybody can actually talk.
Right. If you have a band playing, you cannot really have a discussion.
It's not
right.
And they used to be called GT, like get together, like years ago for people who were.
Oh, we're so old.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Well, now they call them meetups. Like now meetups, there's meetup groups.
Yeah, meetups. You're
that
right.
There is, but munches and sloshes are specifically kink.
The only thing is, if you have an ad, if
it's,
you're a man,
it's like some of the lingo.
Okay.
But if you're a man and you have an ad out there, just be patient, because there's a lot of men in these websites. There's actually something like 3 times more men than women. And you have to be extremely patient. You have to be to keep always looking.
You have to looking. Be polite. You have be to polite. Check your spelling. I know it's stupid, but you know what? If you've got spelling errors and grammar errors all through your ad, you're going to look
well.
Like you're not very smart. It's maybe not a fair assessment, but that's what it is. So you want to read a bunch of ads, first of all, and see how people present themselves, and that'll kind of help you. Mm-hmm. We actually have an article on our website of how to write an effective ad.
Okay.
You know, you really want to be straightforward, but you also want to be cognizant of what role you're playing.
Mm-hmm. Another,
what do you mean, what role you're playing?
Well,
dominant or submissive?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or switch.
Mm-hmm. But you also want to be, you know, particularly polite on either side you're on. Things like that.
Well, you don't want to appear nasty or anything.
No, and little trick.
Well, sometimes things.
And little trick.
So.
Oh, and we receive ad that says, master looking for submissive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's like, yes, anybody who's going to answer that one. It's like, if I had a car for sale, I would just say car for sale.
Right.
You think I'm going to get many phone calls?
Right.
So
right.
Make it funny. Make it... Put some detail into it, and this is how you're going to find someone. This is how somebody's going to read
Believe
it. Go,
it or not,
oh.
If you've got vanilla hobbies,
put it there.
Things like that, put it in there. Because a lot of people, especially if you're looking for long term.
Right.
Right.
You've got to be compatible on more than just sex, please.
Exactly.
Well, absolutely.
Right.
You know, it's like just because two people are gay doesn't mean that they're gonna hit it off.
Right.
Or two people are heterosexual.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So
right. I have a question here. So here are the texts, 514-800 or 71010, if you'd like to text in a question for Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle, or if you want to call in, 1-800-491-2523. I've had an experience trying BDSM, and she thought it was normal to insert a large black dildo in my anus. What are your thoughts? Now, obviously, this is what she thought was something that she wanted.
This looks like a very good example of lack of negotiation.
Okay.
Yes.
You should have talked about it first. What do you like to do? What you want to do? What, you know? So
prepared. Have some lube there.
Yeah.
But like, first you have to say yes to it. Of course, first you have to be able to say, I don't like the idea, or okay, I'll try this idea. But normal, again, what's the word normal? It's a preference for her. It doesn't make it normal or abnormal. But something that she thought was in her repertoire of normal.
Well, if she's a dominant, and it often submissive male, it's something they will enjoy.
Okay.
But you have to ask. You
right.
have to negotiate it.
So is that a typical dominance request to do this?
Actually, it's a topic. It's a typical submissive request.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So
the anal play with dildos and stuff like this is something that is extremely
a common,
popular. Yeah.
Very, very common fantasy with male submissives.
Okay.
Who are normally straight, by the way.
Right.
Or normally, usually straight.
Doesn't
right.
mean that they're gay.
It doesn't have anything to do with being gay. You got a prostrate up there, feels real good.
And just for the fun of it, the Catherine strap-on, we had to change it a few times because they get used.
Just to show. Do I need those details? Really? Really?
They wear out.
Too much information. Seriously.
Yeah,
so as a dominant, like you can be a dominant female to a submissive male, and the submissive male will enjoy or ask to be penetrated by a strap-on. It does not, again, I want to just recapping here because people can freak out sometimes. It does not mean the person is gay.
Nope.
It just means they enjoy anal play. There you go.
Or anal, you know, stimulation.
Anal stimulation. Or it could be simply to, how you call this, the prostate massage.
Yeah, prostate massage, for
that
sure.
Sometimes they use a dildo to do this too. So
right. Yes, anal stimulation is pleasurable for plenty of people. Some people don't want it, and other people are perfectly fine, and has nothing to do with being gay, straight, or any other orientation, by the way. Texter writes, when people are looking for relationships where people want to have children, their priorities are not the same as people who are looking for only a sexual partner rather than a life partner. Am I right? Well, not when you're talking in the BDSM world, because you can have BDSM...
and children.
Preferences and still have a family and still want a family.
We know many people like this.
Right. And you still can have BDSM interests and want a monogamous relationship.
And a family. Course.
And a family. Yeah. Exactly. And of course. In fact, most of the people I know
are like this.
Are married, have children, whatever.
It's just you have rules. You know, in front of kids.
You keep it away from the children. Exactly. You don't put your other sexual stuff out there in front of the children. You don't put any BDSM out there in front of the children. Right. Do you be discreet?
Most people have like a
a locked chest or a locked closet,
and they send the children to the grandma or the sister for a weekend. Exactly. And this is when they do it.
This is when they play.
Yeah.
Right, or they go away to do it.
Or they go away, or they run a dungeon somewhere, or something like that.
Responsible people, this is the way they do it.
Right. So, I mean, if you're talking in general, it's quite true that when you're just looking for a sexual relationship, you don't care about the person's likes and dislikes. You just want...
Well, that's the same if you're vanilla, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. If you're having a one-night stand and you want nothing more, that's just all. But you know what? Sometimes, even people who think they're having a one-night stand turns into more.
It might. But again, what you're looking for will depend. If you're looking for something more long-term, you're going to look for other qualities or other factors. Yeah,
you want to be able to talk to them.
Exactly. At the very least.
Exactly.
At the very least. All right. We will continue and do a little bit of definitions, because we're getting text messages. People want to know some of the defining, defining some of the terms that we're using tonight. So we have to remember to do that. We'll do that and we'll answer more of your questions here on Passion.
She can help improve your love life in a few different ways. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight on the program, Alternative Sexuality, where we focus on BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or dominant submission. 514-800 or 710-10 if you have questions for my guests, Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. So we have a texter asking, what's dominant, what's submissive? So I think it's time that we just do a little review of terminology, and you can explain in a few words what each of those are. So when we talk about a dominant, what are we talking about?
Some people call them tops, dominant, master, mistress. It's basically the one who direct the game, if you want, who decide.
Takes the lead.
Okay.
Submissive is the bottom, the slave. There's been a lot of kind of term. The one who received, the one who...
By mutual consent.
Yes. All of this always happens by mutual consent, folks.
With adults.
And most of the time, it's a need. Some people want to give away the power because for them, it's relaxing. And some other people have the need to take the power. So again, a dominant, this will be someone who will take the power. A submissive is someone who's going to give the power away.
Right. And the two that come together are because they have a mutual need. Like
exactly.
The submissive needs the dominant to fulfill that. The dominant needs the submissive to fulfill that. Both are consenting adults. They negotiate the terms ahead of time.
Extremely important. You negotiate the limit. You negotiate what's allowed, what's not allowed. And within this, you have a relationship.
And the other term that that was brought up tonight was a switch.
Well, some people have the need for both at the same time. Someday they want to be a dominant, and some other day they want to be a submissive.
Okay.
These people, they have to be careful, because if you have to switch together and both of them want to be dominant that night, you need some rules there.
Right.
So you have to talk about it. You have to negotiate all the time.
Some people will switch within the couple. Mm-hmm. Okay. And other people will go outside of the couple to switch. That's quite common as well.
Okay. So they that those couples then would be considered to have an open relationship.
Well, to a certain extent, it's often with really specific rules.
Okay.
Where normally it is that the other person also, let's say you've got the submissive that wants to sometimes be the dominant, and the dominant just doesn't want that. Okay. So by mutual consent, they'll go outside the relationship with a single other person, mm-hmm. Who they will dominate, mm-hmm. And that's quite common.
No, not necessarily have sex with.
No, it could be usually a limit.
Could be a limit.
But that could be, so that's a negotiated thing.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
There's some relationship where there's no sexual act at all. It would be mostly about domination and sometimes S&M.
Or sometimes just service. There's an awful lot of BDSM that has no S&M in it or no sadomasochism, I can't mm-hmm. talk today, in it at all. In fact, I'd say the majority doesn't, or it's incredibly light, like a light spanking or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Most people will practice it as dominant submissive in kind of like serving the other person. It might be massaging some feet or cleaning boots or mm-hmm. whatever.
If they have a fetish, for instance.
You know, something they just enjoy, you know, kind of like servicing, painting somebody's nails, things like that.
That sounds more like the slave part that you're talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, you know, but there's lots of guys who would really enjoy painting their nails white, or their wife's nails, I should say.
Okay.
There's actually a lady in the state who's trying to push something called BDS, which basically means exchange of power, but without the S&M part.
With service. And instead. Bondage.
So okay. I don't know if it's going to take off, but I mean, just to show you how
the difference,
the variety of what you can
right.
do.
And again, just like all forms of sexuality, there's a lot of shades of gray. Lot of shades of gray. So what about in a situation where it's not just the dominance that you just described now, but somebody wants to be like humiliated?
See this as moral pain. It's pain instead of being physical. It's from the emotion. Mm-hmm. Like physical pain, you have to be careful because you can hurt somebody with physical pain, but you can hurt somebody too with emotional pain. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about triggers that could trigger
trauma, old
trauma or bad
well,
memories.
It's also kind of primal.
Yep.
It's that. Kind of rough and tumble, one person dominating over another and taking them kind of thing, where there's something kind of primal about it, we'll find a lot of people and submissive will find very, very exciting. I know, Dr. Laurie, that you have said before that the number one fantasy for women is a rape fantasy, mm-hmm. not that they really want to be raped, of
right.
course.
It's a fantasy.
But the idea is they want to be dominant. They want the power takeover. They just had no choice but to enjoy it. They couldn't help it. It was so, you know, they're not actually getting hurt in their fantasy. They're not, you right. know, but that's a really common thing that people will crave that kind of primal roughness almost. But, you know, this is a BDSM is a way to do that with a consenting adult where you can actually live out your fantasy because you can stop it if it's getting too
right.
rough
right.
and it's safe.
Within and boundaries. So another term that we can bring up then in all of this is the safe word.
Yes, which is basically like a safety belt. If things go too far, you can say the safe word. And actually, this has been negotiated before. Yep. And if your partner hears the safe word, everything stop. And then you need a discussion. What's happening? Is there a problem? Are you hurting?
There's losser is often a slow word, where it's something that the submissive, I'm getting a cramp. kind mm-hmm. of thing. And, you know, we need to change positions or we need to that. And it could be a yellow word.
Well, we use yellow for us.
Mm-hmm. A slow word, which is often yellow. Mm-hmm. And you can have a go word as well.
Which is green, but basically.
Right. And a stop
green.
One, which can be red.
And I've red. Heard a pro-dom say that I think she has a blue word too, which is something that most doms that aren't pros aren't going to have. And that is, yes, do me more. And we're basically the submissive will direct the the dominant. Well, that's really just...
Okay, now you're just confusing me. Okay, never mind that. Okay. This texter writes, interesting, oh my God, a rape fantasy is normal. I thought I was a freak.
No, you're not.
That's what I thought when I was a teenager.
Right. And it is the most common fantasy for females, but it's also not uncommon for males. Believe it or not.
I
got a question from a man who also had rape fantasies about being raped,
yep.
Okay, and even about being dominant himself too, without ever wanting to hurt anybody. Again, it's a fantasy. You are in control. A fantasy is like a play in your mind that you direct. And there is nowhere in there. You could stop at any time. You can change it. The person who dominates you can be whoever you want it to be. Say whatever you want them to say. That's the difference between a fantasy that you direct and where you actually have complete control.
Yep.
In that fantasy. It is not a wish. A fantasy is not a desire or a wish. There are people
to actually
do something. There are people who can who have fantasies of all kinds who would never dream of acting out whatever that fantasy is, including people who can have fantasies of threesomes or orgies who never want to try them out. Some might, but not in the rape fantasies. I've never ever encountered somebody where they said, "Oh yeah, that's a wish." It's always a fantasy.
Yes, and you know what? We know people who've played out the rape fantasy with a partner, and they have
consenting again.
Absolutely,
there was a script.
It's role play. It's a script. It's even as far as they didn't know, they knew it was going to be like someday that week.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. But it's all scripted. That's the
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely, and they have a safe word.
Right. And it's agreed upon ahead of
yes.
time. So this texter writes, one of the popular cases in Toronto was about BDSM. Now, I'm assuming they're talking about Jan Gomeshi.
I would assume it.
Right? And that was, you know, if we just go back to that again, because he did talk about, he made the excuse or whatever for hurting these women, saying that he's into BDSM and he thought they were too. But in all of what we learned about that case, from what I remember, is that nowhere had there been pre-negotiation in all of that. So there was no negotiation in that.
And I'm keeping my mouth shut here.
Do you know what? That's the whole thing. Is he might have thought it was going to be okay, but unless you ask and
get consent,
talk about it.
Some of these women might have, surely he could have found women that wanted that.
Right.
That's the whole thing. But you can't just go at somebody and say, oh, that was okay, wasn't it?
But unfortunately, that case gave BDSM a bad name because of that, right? It was like people misunderstood the context and the rules of what really should go on or what actually does go on in a healthy BDSM relationship.
Here's a sad fact. When a BDSM relationship go well and everything goes perfect, you don't hear about it.
No, of course not.
And
when it goes bad,
there's many good relationships that are in BDSM. But you don't hear about it.
No, you don't. More with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle here on Passion with me, Dr. Lori Batito.
Stimulating Radio, Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight, alternative sexuality, we discuss kink, we discuss BDSM, bondage, discipline, submission, domination. This texter writes at 7:10:10, a comedian Bill Burr has a joke about how sometimes when he's driving, he fantasizes about suddenly plowing into people on the sidewalk and how you would instantly become internationally known if you did that. The point is that it's a fantasy and not a good one. And most importantly, he would never actually do it. And that's the distinction with fantasies and, you know, anything that goes on in your head. Like, often people feel terrible guilt when they have fantasies and they don't understand them and they think that it means something. They think that it's a hidden desire.
No, it's the way your brain works. This is the way your brain works. It's like it's getting rid of some bad emotions.
For a lot of people, because I think... because they're brought up where sex is kind of, you know, it's naughty, it's, you know,
kind of, yeah.
You know, and a lot of people find the tabooness, if that's a word, really exciting.
Right.
So it's the idea that it's taboo, what they're doing. So there is guilt to it because that's part of
the upbringing.
The kink, almost though, too, is that if it wasn't taboo, it wouldn't be exciting.
Right.
You know, so.
So that's why all those fantasies and they can, you know, there are many taboo fantasies. I mean, the many sexual acts that people would consider quite taboo. But again, it's not a desire to do something. It's a fantasy. And I think people need to really make that clear. Distinction.
Now, I think there are people who have fantasies that kind of resonate or mirror needs. You know, you'll get someone who has a need to be submissive or a need to be dominant, so of course that's kind of what they fantasize about. And one of the things that I want to say to people is you can make your fantasies come true almost all the time. Maybe not if your fantasy is to, you know, drive in a car and hit people, but you know, most of the sexual fantasy, there is somebody else out there who likes the other end of it. You just have to be specific in what you're looking for.
Right.
And, you know, when it's two consenting adults that have talked about it, you've got safe words, it can be such a fun, exciting, stimulating thing to explore new things and your fantasies.
But you know what's interesting is, okay, so rape fantasies for women is very common. A threesome is very common for men. And yet when I speak to people about... who have acted out on, let's say, a threesome fantasy, often they're disappointed and they kind of, and then they can't go back to it's like, oh, damn, I lost that fantasy now because it was not a great experience. I didn't factor in all these things and my partner's jealousy, and I didn't factor in the after effect, and I didn't factor in all these other things. Of course not, because once you act something out, you're not in control at some point, right?
Well, I mean, a part of it everything. is it's negotiate. You know, a lot of times the threesomes will kind of be, you know, everybody was drunk or everybody was, you know, and that's never going to turn out good because you haven't talked about how are you still going to love me tomorrow?
Right. You know? Yeah, you haven't talked about the consequences after.
Exactly.
Well, that's the thing that we don't talk about when in a fantasy you control it. In real life, there's things you just don't think through.
That's what I'm
saying.
You
don't think all those through. You think it's just going to be just like the fantasy, which of course it never is.
Negotiate, your dreams can come true.
Yeah, well.
And it's like anything. Sometimes you're going to have this fantasy, but not realize that there's some technical aspect that sometimes have to deal with.
Especially with BDSM.
And BDSM, right. I mean, you know, you look at the movie and they're always like a beautiful room. It's always perfect. You don't know that when you actually have a scene, it becomes very hot. You get sweaty. And I mean...
But that's like porn too. You know, people don't realize that you don't see a lot of stuff in real life that you would see in pornography or that vice versa. You don't see the messiness, the heat, the this, the that. Yeah. You just don't.
The cramps.
Whatever it is, right? Exactly. I did want to share, though, because there was a really good article on Bustle that was published maybe last week or so that looked at kink in the lives of individuals. There was a global survey of 4,500 people and that found that kinky sex practices are more popular than ever before. There was another one that looked at 400,000 OkCupid users, and they found that over 70% of people say they're into some kind of kink. So over 70% of these 400,000 people. then in a study published by sex researchers, so in the Journal of Sex Research, found that nearly 50% of adults have unconventional sex fantasies and desires. So they admitted to that. And then, of course, there's some that maybe didn't admit to it. So I would say it's probably even higher. And then, you know, then there's those that practice them. But at least the desires or the unconventional fantasies imply the kinkiness, right? That there is some interest in some kinkiness.
But we're going back to the same question. Where's the line? Where's the line of what's kinky and what's not anymore?
Well, okay, I'll tell you right now. The survey, so this is what, there's a few acts that men and women enjoyed the most. So when they kind of looked at the different things, they found that more than 70% of women and 61% of men love getting spanked during sex.
Go baby.
It ranked as the number one kinky sex act for both men and women. According to the survey, about 61% of men and 58% of women say they regularly engage in nipple play. So what, I mean, that could be a whole lot of different things, right?
Oh, yes.
Sure can be. Oh, yes.
What would that mean?
It could be tickling to pain. It could be sucking.
There's devices. It could be clamps. It could be feathers. It could be piercing. It could be sucking. It could be all
slapping. It could be.
Okay. Bondage. So there's a lot of things that happen there. All right. Let's see. Tying each other up was high on the list. 57%. Of men say that they like tying each other up, actually. This is actually more women than men preferred tying each other up in this one. So 57% of women and 55% of men. Blindfolds. Men rank blindfolds as the third most popular kink they enjoy, while it's about fifth place for women at 55% say that they also like it. And 55% of women and 44% of men say they enjoy biting during sex. So, I mean, if we look at this, what do we see? We see that more than half of the population is actually into some form of kinky play.
And
it's not extreme and are doing it. Exactly. So we're not...
Does it need to be?
You know, we're talking about that line. There is a huge range. And I don't want people to think... Kink just means dungeons and
S&M.
And very rough and violent and all that stuff. Like, there is such a range of what kink actually is today.
And nobody starts with a dungeon.
No.
That's the thing. Nobody starts with it. This is, you know, it's after you've done it for a few years usually and you've gotten too many toys that it's not fitting in a little trunk anymore, and that's how people usually get dungeons. And nobody goes out and buys, you know, a hood and a whole dungeon thing the first day.
Just quick question here. Is there a myth because somebody that was spanked as a kid may like to be spanked during sex? I've never seen the connection between those two, but anyway. Unless the spanking was associated with arousal, then it becomes a sort of a fetish somewhere.
There's something about the exchange of power. You're being spanked by higher...
An authority.
Authority.
So you may want to maybe do that to somebody else.
It could be a submissive type of...
There may be some link, but again...
And not enough information.
There could be a little bit of an emotional thing because it's almost a release where now I've been punished and I've been resolved of it.
Right. All right. Okay. It can be.
But
again,
Well,
we need more information to determine that. Guys, thank you so much for being here once again. Always love having you. We'll talk to you again in June. I forgot we're in May. Thank you for all of you for tuning in, and thanks for your text tonight. Thanks to our technical team in Montreal and in Toronto. If you want to get in touch with Pierre and Catherine, you could do that at www.bdsmcircle.com. You want to get in touch with me, go to drlaurie.com. That's drlaurie.com. Also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dr. Laurie Betito. My last name spelled B-E-T-I-T-O. We'll talk again tomorrow night. Right now, stay tuned for the comedy show with your very funny host, Joey Elias. Have a great rest of the evening, and remember to fill your life with passion.